Morning.
Whoa.
Good morning. Glad to be with you again. Share this time with you, share in the Lord's Supper with you, to share in the Word of God with you. We'd like to look at a passage in Luke chapter 8, if you'd like to turn there. Luke chapter 8. We'll be looking at three parables, though you might, the third parable, you might not call it a parable. But I'm going ahead and calling it a parable, at least in quotes. It at least fits in with the first two parables here, and a lesson that the Lord is teaching and would have us to learn. This set of parables, if you will, is going to show us something, reveal to us something about how we receive and hear the Word of God. We hear the Word of God. We read the Word of God. The Word of God comes to us. But how do we receive it? How do we hear it? What is the response that we have to it? This is the question that we want to ask. And we'll be looking at the Lord's teaching on this in Luke chapter 8. But first, let's go ahead and talk to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we want to come to you as your disciples, learners, coming to our teacher this morning. I pray that we would all have that heart, that attitude, coming to our Master, our Lord, our teacher. Show us the truth that you want us to know, to understand, that will change our hearts, our minds, our lives. We yield ourselves to you in this. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Luke chapter 8, we're going to start reading in verse 4. This is a familiar parable, one of the most familiar parables to us. The first one is, at least. And then we will look at a couple more parables or incidents in the life of the Lord Jesus that further expand on what he's teaching here. Often I find that the Lord will give a lesson in multiple parts. And so we're going to be looking at that. So let's start reading in Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop, 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. Then his mothers and brothers came to him, and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. So you notice perhaps the common thread in each of these stories or parables. One of them is just something that happens in the life of the Lord Jesus, that third one. But it's in a sense a parable for us. It teaches us a lesson that connects with the two parables in a more traditional sense that the Lord tells to his disciples and to the crowd. In each one, there is a question of how we hear. You'll remember in the first parable, he ended the parable by saying, what? He who has ears, let him hear. So there's a command, an invitation. If you have ears, how many of you have ears today? Okay, we're not that sort of people that raise our hands for questions. That's okay. But I think I see a lot of ears. Most people have ears. He says, if you have ears, hear. Let him hear. Okay, that's the first parable, the instruction that was given. Then in the second parable, you remember this command or instruction is given. Take heed how you hear. Right? So there's a command to hear, if you have ears, hear. But then take heed how you hear. And then in the third part, he gives a very important distinction, which we'll talk about in its place, that those who he calls his mother and his brothers, that is, those who have a close, personal, intimate relationship with him, are marked or defined by those who hear and do what he says. Right? Okay. So let's just kind of dig in a little bit to this first parable. It's pretty familiar to us. I think most of us have heard this before. We're familiar with the four different responses to the Word of God that is pictured to us in this way as a seed that is scattered for planting and falls on four different kinds of grounds, right? And so as we consider these four grounds or these four receptions to the seed, one, we have the hard path, right? It is trodden down, and we're told that because it's hard and the seed doesn't penetrate very easily, that the birds will come and eat those seeds, and it has no opportunity to actually sink into the ground. So it's kind of thwarted right before it even has a chance to germinate, to have any kind of impact, right? The second ground, and we'll notice that with each of these grounds, the seed kind of gets further along in each one, right? In the second ground, we have a germination that occurs. It actually sinks into the soil. It sprouts up, right? So there is germination that occurs, but it doesn't last long as a plant. And it very soon withers and dies because the sun scorches, because it does not have firmness of root, right? There's all these reasons that are given. Then in the third ground, you have germination. It sprouts up, and it even endures for a while. It seems to last longer than the one that's on the rocky or stony ground. But because it is sown among thorns and weeds and things like that that choke it, it doesn't say that it dies. It doesn't say that the plant actually withers and dies like it did in the second one. It seems to endure, but it doesn't bring forth fruit to maturity. You notice, I think that was how it was worded there in verse 14. It brings no fruit to maturity. And I think of the many times that I've planted tomato plants or something along those lines, and you can watch it grow, and for whatever reason, you see the little tomatoes starting to grow there, and then something happens long right before they really ripen to maturity, right? They either start splitting open because you didn't water them properly, or some bug gets to them and eats them, or something happens, and it's so disappointing, right? You see the fruit. It has great potential for bearing fruit. The blossoms are there, everything, but it doesn't bring the fruit to maturity. And that's disappointing. None of those three, we might say, from a gardener's perspective, none of those three are any good. In fact, if I was the gardener, I would just as soon have the first case as the third case, right? At least I haven't invested all of that time in trying to help it to grow and produce, and then to be disappointed in the end by not getting any tomatoes at all, right? I would just as soon have the thing die right at the beginning. If I'm not going to get fruit out of it, then from a gardener's perspective, what was the point of planting the thing, right? So it is only in the fourth ground that we see the full purpose of the Word of God, as we see that it will represent, that is actually taking and producing fruit with the seed that is sown. It's sown on good ground, it springs up, it grows, it blooms, and it produces fruit and yields a crop. In this telling of the parable, 100-fold. I think the Lord probably told this parable on many different occasions, and so in different Gospels you have it spoken in slightly different language and different terms. And so that could account for some variations that we see in the other Gospels. One of the times that the Lord tell it, he said some produce 30-fold and some 60-fold and some 100-fold, right? Here Luke just records the 100-fold. I don't know why. But that's just the emphasis that he gives here. Any of those is an abundant crop. Okay, so as we're looking at these things, and certainly what we want to consider as the Lord gives the explanation of this, and he teaches the disciples what this means, and he tells them that to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That was the purpose of this parable. He wanted them to know and to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. I want you to understand what the kingdom of God, how it's structured, what it's all about, what the purpose is. And the part that he's explaining in this part, of course, as we've already mentioned, has to do with hearing the word of God. How important is hearing the word of God to the outreach of the kingdom of God and the propagation of the kingdom of God? How important is hearing the word of God to that? It's very important. You can't do without hearing the word of God. You remember Paul said this to the Romans, right? How shall they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear unless somebody preaches it to them, right? Hearing the word of God is absolutely vital to a proper believing, a reception of faith. So we have to understand what this means to hear the word of God. Now, of course, one application of this, and one perhaps that we think of most often in connection with this parable, we often think of the application of hearing the gospel and responding to the gospel for salvation. And that is a very important application of this parable. and how the Word of God is received when we hear the message of the gospel. But I'd like to suggest that that is not necessarily the only application that we can gather from this parable. The parable in and of itself is about how we hear the Word of God. And I would like to suggest every one of us that's sitting here, or one of us who's standing here, hears the Word of God, and we need to ask ourselves, how do I hear the Word of God today? How did I hear the Word of God last week or yesterday if I was reading it for myself or heard it on the radio or any opportunity or situation in which the Word of God comes to me? I have some sort of response to it. Whether I initially responded favorably to the gospel and am bringing forth fruit unto God's glory, as I hope is the case for each of us here. Even if that is the case, when I hear the Word of God today, I still can respond to it in any one of these four different ways. Think for a moment about the message that you heard last Sunday. I wasn't here. Okay? Know what it was. I don't know who was speaking, which gives me a slight advantage, right? I can't quiz you on it or anything like that. But whether you were here or whether you were somewhere else, I can think about where I was last Sunday. And thinking about the word that you heard, I want you to think about how you responded to it. What was your response to the Word of God when you heard it? Now, maybe somewhat uncomfortably, because I know it's been true for me, so I'm not judging anyone. Maybe you're sitting there squirming a little bit. You're like, I really cannot remember what was there last Sunday, what I heard. It's not necessarily a failure. Sometimes it is the case that we hear and we respond, and the Lord gives us what we need for that day. Even if we don't remember it a week later, it still can be beneficial and helpful to us at that time. So it's not to say, just because I can't remember it, that's a failure in and of itself, right? But try to remember, if you can, what your response to the Word of God is. Now, maybe sometimes our response is, let's be honest, sometimes it can be like the hard ground. Now, this doesn't mean that we are diametrically opposed to the Word of God and rejecting it out of hand. It's just that sometimes we hear the Word of God and it just seems to bounce off, and we don't really let it penetrate. Maybe from our perspective or our perception, we look back on it and we say, well, it just wasn't a very interesting message. It didn't capture my attention, and so I just didn't remember it. I just don't know what it was about. And maybe that's what it is from our perspective, although the Lord Jesus gives a different perspective of that. When the seed falls on a hard ground and it is immediately snatched away, I just would like to suggest that although sometimes we might think of it in one way, we might just think, well, I was very tired or I was very sleepy, and so I don't remember it kind of resonating with me at all. Or it was just kind of dull, and I just don't remember it resonating with me at all. Or whatever the thought is in our mind, it could be that that's a situation in our life where Satan has come and snatched away the Word so it would not have an effect in our lives. Even as believers, the Word of God should have an effect on our lives, on our hearing, when we hear it, every time that we hear it. It has the potential of being life-changing any time that we hear the Word of God. Would you agree with that? The Word of God is that powerful and effective that any time you hear the Word of God, even if it is presented to you by a very dull preacher, as may be the case today, the Word of God in and of itself, it doesn't let the preacher off the hook necessarily, but the Word of God in and of itself has the potential of making a life-changing impact on your life. And the question is, does it? Has it? It depends on how you receive it, doesn't it? And again, sometimes we have our own perspective of what happens, and maybe it's just one reason or maybe it's another, but The Lord says one of the things that can happen when we hear the word of God is that it just sort of hits on well-trodden ground and the birds come and snatch it away and take it away and we don't hear anything. Or it doesn't resonate with us. Now, what is well-trodden ground? What is that? How does that occur? That's how the ground was characterized, right? Well-trodden. It's a roadway, essentially. Well, sometimes it happens that we hear things so often that we are so familiar with certain teaching, right? We can get so familiar with certain teaching that it becomes well-trodden ground. And when we hear the word of God on that particular subject, it just sort of bounces off because maybe in our minds we just think, well, I've heard this so many times before. I can't really learn anything new from this. Even though the word of God is always living and powerful and can make an impact, even on things that we thought we knew. I remember hearing a story of someone who thought that he was going to study a particular book of the Bible. He's just going to study it. He would read all the commentaries that he could. He's going to study it as best as he could and learn everything possible about this book of the Bible. And he did for a couple of years. He just spent time studying this Bible. And then it happened that the next Sunday, there was somebody preaching, and he was just like a farmer. I mean, he was not a trained preacher or anything. Just a farmer, and he spoke on that book of the Bible, and the guy was thinking, there's no way this guy's going to teach me anything. And it happened that he learned from that message things that he had never thought of in all of his study of that portion of Scripture. I mean, the Word of God is living and powerful. So we need to be on guard, even as believers, right, against the well-trodden paths. Oh, I know this. I've heard this before. I know all about this particular passage or this particular thought or idea. I know how to view this, right? Beware of the well-trodden path and when you hear the word of God. Now, what's another way that we might hear the word of God? The second one, he says, is the person who responds to the word of God. We hear the message and we say, that was really stirring. That was really encouraging. That was really challenging in my life. And I know that I want to do something with that word that was given to me. And you have this initial enthusiasm, right? And you want to do it. But then what happens? Maybe this has happened in my case, I can tell you. This has happened to me where maybe it's something about how I lead my family, my children, and I'm teaching them in the Word of God and leading them in family worship and things like that, right? And I'm excited about it. Yes, I know I need to do a better job with that. I need to be more devoted to spending time teaching them the Word of God and be more regular in that. And then Monday rolls around, right? And somehow it just always happens that it's nothing works out the way that you planned, right? It's like the sun comes up and shines on you and it's like, oh, this is too hard. It's too hard to actually put this into practice. The kids are whining, they're fractious, they're doing all, and it's just, I can't get them to listen to anything. I'll just give up. Right? Sometimes do we respond to the Word of God that way? We respond like the rocky soil. There's an initial response, yeah, I know I should do that, right? We get up from the pews and we say, boy, that was a good message. I'm really glad for that. I really learned a lot. But I want to say, if that's all that it is, if that's all the response that there is, that's not giving God any glory. Just having that response and then going out and forgetting, oh, I can't remember. Yeah, oh, I forgot. I was really going to do something with that. I really wanted to put that word into practice, but I've forgotten because things got hard and life happened and all the various things that we say. Right? So how do you hear the word of God? Maybe sometimes you hear the word of God and you respond like the rocky soil. Right? Or maybe sometimes you respond like the thorny soil. What is that one like? Well, he tells us that that is when we hear the word of God and respond, and maybe there's some life, and there's even some, you can see some fruit happening, but what happens? It's not that just life gets hard, but it's that there are other desires. There are other things that we pursue in life that choke out our pursuit and our obedience to what the Word of God tells us to do. The Word of God tells us to live devoted lives to the Lord. The Word of God teaches that there is one needful thing: to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus and just focus on Him and His Word. But we've got all of these other cares that come along. So, well, I've got to do this. And, you know, there's this work, just a lot of stress on my life from that. And I have to make sure I keep up this standard of living, and I have to make sure that this happens. And I got to make sure I save up for the retirement, because that's coming sooner than I expect, and or children's college education, or whatever it might be. And it's just the cares of life. Not that any one of them is necessarily bad, but they squeeze out the obedience to the Word of God. And we live life, and this one's the trickiest of all, I think, because in the other situations, you can easily see that the response to the Word of God has died. You can look back and you can say, oh yeah, I heard that message, but it just sort of bounced off. Or you can say, yeah, I know, I initially responded to that, and then because, you know, things happened and I just didn't follow through or whatever, you can see that the response was negative. But with the thorny soil, I think it's the trickiest one, because you look back and you see, and you can still see the little buds and the little fruit there, and you're like, hey, I think it's going to be okay. I think it's going to work out. I know I've got all these other cares that are intertwined around it, but there's still some fruit on there, so I think it's going to be okay. I think I can work this out. But year after year happens, or day after day, and it just, that little one, you thought it was going to turn ripe, but it just sort of withered and died. But there's another one on there. Maybe that one will turn ripe, right? And so we keep thinking that it's going to produce fruit. We keep thinking that our life is going to be one of obedience to Christ and bearing fruit for Him and giving Him glory. But it always just is just out of reach. And what the Lord Jesus says is the reason for that is because the cares of life are choking it out. There are many of those cares, right? This is why the Lord Jesus taught in another place. He took it to a very drastic step when he said, do not worry about what you will eat or what you will put on. The Lord knows that you have need of those things. Can we live that way? We think, no, it's okay to have those, as long as I don't let them get out of hand, right? I'll prune my thorns. I'll keep them pruned so that they don't get too out of control. And we can let them grow and live alongside of the plant that's supposed to bear fruit. But it never quite bears any fruit. Beware of that kind of response to the Word of God. Now, in each of these situations, now the fourth obviously is what we want to see. That there is a response to the Word of God. The Spirit convicts and touches our heart, and we hear it and respond and say, that is God's truth for me. I know I need it. I know it needs to change and transform my life in some way. And by God's grace, we commit it to Him and we surrender that piece of truth and that part in our heart to Him, and He changes us, and we're able to live obediently to that part of the Word of God that we heard, and it bears fruit. And He says 100-fold even that it can bear fruit. Not because of us, not because we're such rich soil, but it's the nature of the seed itself that produces such an abundant harvest. That is what we want to see, but we don't always see that. Even in the church, even in the lives of believers, every time that we hear the word of God, we respond in one of these four ways. And it's not always clear immediately which of the four is the situation or the case for us at any given moment. Or certainly for someone else. I can't look around. I can't look around at each of you and make a guess. There's some rocky soil over there. There's some thorny soil over there. There's some well-trodden path over there because you've heard this parable so many times that there's nothing that you can learn from it. Whatever it might be, I'm not going to take a guess as to what kind of soil that the word of God is falling on today. And that's the point of the second parable that the Lord tells. He says there's an aspect to this in which things are secret or hidden for a while. How the word of God responds in your heart or how you respond to it is something that is hidden. Even if you come up to me and you're like, that was such a great message, which you don't have to do. It's okay. I'm not looking for that. But I'm really responding positively to that. I don't know if it's going to bear fruit. Right? I know I've responded to many messages in that way. Has it always borne fruit? I'm afraid not. So there are secret things, there are hidden things, right? But the Lord says in the second parable, it's not going to stay secret forever. That's the point of the second parable. Things that are secret will be known and come to light. He says there is nothing that is secret that will not be revealed. Nothing that is hidden that will not be made known and come to light. Now that's kind of scary, right? So we can put on a good front to how we hear the word of God. But what really matters is if fruit, is God going to receive glory from my life because I heard that portion of God's word? Is it going to result in something that glorifies God? Whether it be a change in my life, a change in the way that I treat my family, a change in the way that I treat my coworkers, a change in the way that I am bold in telling others the gospel, whatever it might be, the change that needs to happen, will that happen and result in glory to God and glory to the Lord Jesus? Whether or not it does, might be hidden for a while, it might be secret for a while, but it will come to light. And that's why he cautions us. That's why he says, take heed how you hear. You're not going to fool everybody all the time. You can fool a lot of people a lot of the time. Not that I'm saying that anybody's intentionally trying to fool anybody. I know that I don't. But he says, take heed how you hear. How you hear the word of God will come to light. Take heed. And this is an interesting part here also, at the end of verse 18. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. I believe that this is teaching a principle which I've noticed at work in my life and in others' lives as well. When I hear the word of God and I respond to it the right way, God trusts me with more. He gives me more from his word. He teaches me more. When he sees that it's fallen on an obedient ear, that he can, that I am one that hears the word of God and will do it, he says, that's a person that I'm going to give more to. But when I am one of the other types of soil, and I hear and it doesn't bear fruit, I let it fall on rocky ground or soil, or I let it get choked up out by the cares of this world, and it does not result in obedience, even what I seem to have is going to be taken away. When I respond with obedience, the Lord rewards that, if you will, with more from his word, a closer walk with him, a closer relationship, because that's the kind of relationship that he wants to build. And that's what he goes on to teach in the third portion that we read here. That relationship, that intimate relationship with him. How do we grow closer to the Lord? So in the story, it's very short, it's very simple, right? The Lord's teaching. Maybe it's this particular time that he's teaching, or maybe Luke has kind of pieced together things from different events. I don't know. But Luke, the Holy Spirit, inspired Luke to put them all together for us because they're all related in their theme. And so he's teaching, and there's a crowd gathered around, and people can't get close to him. Obviously, back in those days, they didn't have microphones. So if you wanted to hear what the preacher was saying, you had to get physically close enough to hear what was being said. And Jesus' physical, natural mother and brothers wanted to come near. Whether it was because they wanted to hear really bad or if they had some other reason is not clear. But somebody in the crowd, maybe it was one of his disciples, maybe, who knows, but they noticed, somebody who knew him well enough to notice, here is somebody who has a close, natural relationship to the Lord. They should have priority. They should have precedent, right? So he tells the Lord, your mother, your brothers, they're out there. They want to see you. They want to come closer. And I gather that the expectation was, oh, my mother, my brothers, they're like close relatives to me. Part the sea, you know, get out of the way, let them come through. They're more important. They're close relatives, right? That's kind of the expectation. That would be the natural response there. But the Lord says, let me teach you what it is that constitutes a close personal relationship with me. What is it that makes a close personal relationship with the Lord Jesus? My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. That's it. That's what he's looking for. That's what develops. And it's because of that principle of to whom has more will be given, and one who doesn't have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away. Because of that, that when we hear and obey, we grow closer to the Lord because he responds by giving more, and we hear and obey more, and it just draws us closer and closer to his heart as he changes our life and changes our focus and our perspective in so many different ways because we're continually hearing and obeying and doing what he says. But just hearing and hearing and hearing, and even responding positively, say, yes, I'm so glad that I heard that message today. I'm so glad that I read the Word of God today. It was so uplifting. It was so encouraging. But never putting it into practice will not draw us closer to the Lord. That is not what constitutes and creates and develops a close personal relationship with Him. I'm sorry to have to say it, but that's what develops a coldness and a lukewarmness in our Christian life. When we follow that pattern of just hearing and hearing and responding positively, sure, sometimes, but never putting it into practice, never letting it actually transform and change my heart and my life. Eventually, I just become self-satisfied in the religiosity of hearing the Word of God and responding positively and emotionally to it in some way. But what constitutes and what generates and drives intimacy with the Lord is when we have that childlike faith and obedience to hear and to do what the Word of God says. Yes, you'll hit trials. The sun will come up, it'll scorch down. Yes, there'll be a lot of cares of this world that'll compete with the obedience to God's Word. But what really matters is those who hear and do the Word of God. How are we hearing God's Word these days? Now, I'd like to just give you one further perspective here about the Word of God, because I don't want you to leave here thinking this is all on me and I have to find somehow the strength within myself to be able to not only hear God's Word but respond in the right way. Guess what the very next thing that happens here in Luke chapter 8, we didn't read this far, but the Lord kind of puts them to the test in the next section about how, what do they think and how do they view and perceive the Word of God, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're on the boat, right? In verse 22, it says, "Now it happened on a certain day that he got into the boat with his disciples, and he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side of the lake.' And they launched out, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, 'Where is your faith?' And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, 'Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him.'" So I want you to be encouraged that the one who is speaking his words to you, the words that we hear when we open this book, when we open our Bible and we read, yes, there is some responsibility on our part of how we respond to it, but be encouraged. There is power in the word itself. It is the power to be obeyed. If I do not find it within myself the strength to follow through, to be obedient in every respect to the word that God has spoken to me, I remember I don't need to have that strength within myself, because the strength is in the word. It's in the command itself. That when he gives a command, he gives the power to obey that command. When he says to the man with the withered hand, "Stretch forth your withered hand." I don't know if you noticed, but it's withered. I can't do that. I don't have the strength. I don't have the power within my hand to stretch it forth. I can't do that. But you can, because the word itself carries with it the power to obey it. When he says to the man who's lame, "Stand up and walk." I don't know if you noticed this, but I'm lame, my legs, I don't have the power, I don't have the strength to obey that command. Yes, you do, because the words of God carry within them the power to obey the word of God. That's why he can say even to a dead man, "Lazarus, come forth." I'm sorry, he's dead. He doesn't have the power. He doesn't have the strength to obey that command. Yes, he does, because the word of God itself carries the power
to obey, all we have to do is what? What was it the disciples failed in? Oh, you have little faith. Didn't you realize what my word can do? It's the same word that spoke and the worlds were created. All you have to do is put faith in the word of God. When he tells us to do something that's impossible, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. I just can't do that. Yes, you can. Because the word itself carries the power to obey if you just put faith in his word, in who he is who speaks it. So whatever it is the word is speaking to you today, whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is convicting in your heart, whether by this message or something else that you've heard, something in your own reading, something that you've heard recently, and there's a conviction in your heart, and there's something that God is saying, this is where I need to change your heart. If we're not being changed today, then we are lukewarm. And we've reached a place where we're not growing and changing. And we're dead for all intents and purposes. Sorry to put it so bluntly. But the Lord, when he speaks and he says, this is what I want to transform, this is what I want to change in our life, in your heart, say, I'm not sure I can do that. I'm not sure I can obey that. Just put your faith in the one who can speak the worlds into existence, the one who can speak to dead bodies and call them to life, who in the Old Testament could speak to a valley of dry bones and say, get up, you dry bones. Let flesh and sinew and muscle come and breathe the breath of life back into you. That's what God can do. Put faith in his word and obey and grow in your intimacy and relationship with God, because you are one who hears and does what he says. Our Father, we confess we have not the strength in ourselves to do any of these things that you write and command to us in your word. Lord, we put our faith in you. Father, if we have been stuck in a place of hearing but being afraid to obey, Lord, I pray you would break through that wall of unbelief and give us and show us the path of obedience this morning, to put our trust in you, to walk forth and obey that word that you have spoken to us. Pray in Jesus' name, amen.